join the choir and welcome everybody out. And we invite you to get your Bibles and open to the book of Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. That will be the basis of our study here this afternoon. And we're delighted for your presence. And for those who are visiting, we are glad that you've come to be with us. And of course, several from the great families with us again tonight. We're glad to have them. Glad to have Randy Taylor and his wife Claudia with us tonight. And enjoyed being with them back in the spring. Stayed at their house when I preached up at Mill Road. A fine group of people up there, and we're just glad to have them with us tonight. In the book of Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19, the text says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Verse 22. "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which is in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that all year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." And so what we want to do is to focus in particular the statement in verse 23. And to look at some of the words and the language there and to see what lessons we can draw there from verse 23 when Barnabas came to Antioch. I want you to notice first thing, it says that he came. Who when he came? It says in verse 22, the church at Jerusalem, where the apostles were, had sent forth Barnabas, and he came. He was sent, and he went. And that tells us something about the disposition of Barnabas, and that is that he had the readiness to go. You remember back then the book of Isaiah chapter 6, it was one of the throne scenes that is found in the scriptures. And God started talking and conversing there. It says in verse 8, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And what did Isaiah say? "Then said I, Here am I, send me." That's the attitude I think we see in Barnabas. Is that they sent him forth to Antioch. And we see the readiness. We don't see griping and complaining and for crying out loud, "Can't you get somebody else to do this?" No, we see a man that was willing. He came. He was sent and he came to Antioch. He was a man that was ready to serve, willing to serve. Paul, I think, had that same disposition, that readiness of mind. There in the book of Romans, chapter 1, and in verse 15, Paul says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." That's what the Lord needs, is that he needs ready servants. He needs willing servants. People that are saying, "Here am I, send me, I'm ready to go, ready to serve, Lord, whatever capacity it might be." And the question is, are we ready? Have we prepared ourselves to be sent of the Lord in the fields of service and ministry? We're all to be servants, and whatever capacity that we are able to fulfill, we need to be ready servants. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2 there, in verses 19 and 20, or 20 and 21, should be, it's the wrong numbers there, 20 and 21, it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, that is suitable for the master's use, now listen, and prepared into every good work. There's the ideal that we're talking about, that we are prepared, that we are ready, that we are willing. Here am I, send me. We sometimes sing that song. That we are ready to go. And we see that in the example of Barnabas. They needed a man to go down to Antioch and to confirm and to build the disciples. Barnabas, he's a man that's ready. Here am I, send me. He didn't have to be coerced. They didn't have to twist his arm. They didn't have to browbeat him into doing it. I believe that he was ready to go, prepared to go, willing to go, and it says that he came. But I want you to notice as we look back in our text in Acts 11, verse 23, it says, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God? The question is, exactly how did he see the grace of God? It's not that it has a certain color or a certain texture or a certain feel in some way. No, the way that he saw the grace of God is that he saw the results of God's grace working among the people there. He saw the results. Look there in verse 21 again. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go out into the society in which we live, and you can see a great number of people. But I tell you what, you won't see the grace of God every place. But you'll see the grace of God when you see people that are converted, that become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and followers of Him, people that step out and obey the gospel. That's how you can see the grace of God. You see it working in the hearts and lives of people. And Barnabas saw the grace of God working in the hearts of these people here in Antioch. And that wouldn't be the only ones. For in verse 24, it says in the last half of the verse, and much people were added unto the Lord. Not only did he see the grace of God when he came, but as he stayed among them, and as he was busy teaching, and then later Paul there with the church at Antioch, there were other people converted, and the grace of God was seen again in the results. People believing, people having changed attitudes, changing of masters, no longer a servant of sin, no longer a servant of Satan, no longer a servant of self, but now servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, people whose lives were changed. They believed and they turned to the Lord, and that implies they turned from sin. You can't walk with God unless you turn from sin. God doesn't fellowship sin. If we walk in darkness, we don't have fellowship with God. But in order to have fellowship with God, when we turn to the Lord, that implies people returning from sin. And so he saw changed attitudes, people who had changed lives as they had turned unto the Lord. Forgiveness had been granted unto these people. And they were thankful, they were grateful. They're on the road to heaven. And he could see it in their countenance. He could see it in their lives, in their attitudes, as they serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But now notice it says, who, when he came, and had seen the grace of God, notice what it said, that he was glad. Barnabas was glad for what he saw. People that had been converted from sin, people who had turned from wickedness, and had turned to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, Barnabas was glad. This word glad, Mr. Strong says, to be cheered or cheerful. That is, calmly happy. He looked at people that had turned from sin and wickedness, who had become Christians, who had become servants of God. Ladies and gentlemen, Barnabas was glad. I tell you what, he wasn't sad, and he wasn't mad, like the Pharisees when they saw Jesus trying to help people and people changing their hearts and lives. In the book of Luke chapter 15, notice there in verses 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Here we've got people that are interested in Jesus. Maybe very well have already been turned, have got turned to the Lord. And what do we see? Verse 2, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And then when he tells the parable of the prodigal son, the elder brother perfectly represents this attitude. Listen to the elder brother when his younger brother came back in repentance, verse 28. And he was angry. The older brother just got mad what was happening. And would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. When Barnabas came to Antioch and he saw people who had turned to the Lord, he was not sad, nor was he mad and angry about it, like the Pharisee. For the Pharisees, their disposition was Mr. Perfecto. They just felt that somehow they were better and that they were cut above other people. And they just had a disdain for those that they felt were old, filthy, dirty, rotten sinners. Failing to see that they had sinned against the Lord. No, ladies and gentlemen, Barnabas was glad. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, people obey the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whether to become Christians or to get back on the right track. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, the angels of heaven rejoice. Listen to what Jesus says there in Luke chapter 15, verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. Verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. When one obeys the gospel and is baptized into Jesus Christ, I tell you what, the angels are rejoicing in heaven. Now there's a bunch of them. In Revelation chapter 5, John heard the number 10,000 times 10,000. That's 100 million right there, plus thousands of thousands. We've got thousands and thousands and millions of angels rejoicing. When one obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are angels rejoicing in heaven. And not only that, but God the Father rejoices. Listen there in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when his father was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found, and they begin to be made merry. Ladies and gentlemen, the Father in the story is the heart of God, the representation of God the Father. And what do we see? He's rejoicing, he's happy, he's glad. God is glad when people come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The angels are rejoicing in heaven when people obey the gospel of the Son of God. Millions of angels are rejoicing. There is a resounding glee and happiness in heaven. And so it was that Barnabas, he was glad when he saw all these people who had obeyed the gospel of the Son of God. Well, let's notice in our text once again, in Acts 11, verse 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. And notice it says that he exhorted them all. The New American Standard says, encourage them all. Ladies and gentlemen, the word exhort means to call near. That is, to invite, to invoke. That is, by imploration, oration, or consolation, beseech, or entreat. The call to the side. He exhorts them. He calls them to the side to exhort and encourage them as the people of God. It's sort of like sometimes parents. You call your kids to the side. You explain what they need to be doing, or how they can do it better, or how it's to be done.
were like a coach, were called the basketball player. Come on over here. And the player goes over and the coach puts his arm around the young man or the young woman and explains how they're to play, how to handle that situation. To call to the side, to call near. That's what Barnabas did. He exhorts the brethren.
And I tell you what, he was a good man for the job. Over there in Acts chapter 4, look at what's said about this man. In verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, or the son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus.
There was just something about Barnabas that he was just outstanding as an individual who would be one that could encourage, exhort, to call people near and to lift them up. He was certainly the man for the job.
But you know, when the Word of God is preached, it calls us near. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul tells Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine.
When the Word of the Lord is preached, it calls us to the side. It calls us near and reasons with our hearts and our minds and our spirits to stay with the Lord and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ.
Notice he exhorted them all. Not some of them, not most of them, not pretty near every one of them.
He exhorted them all. And what did he exhort them all to do? What did he encourage all of them to do?
Look at the text once again. He exhorted them that with purpose of heart they should cleave to the Lord. Purpose of heart. A resolute mind.
That's what we need. A resolution of heart. That we just make up our minds to serve God.
That we determine in our heart. That we resolve in our heart that we're going to serve God.
That from the depth of our being that we just serve the Lord with resolution of mind and spirit, with purpose of heart.
That we serve God. Back in the book of Daniel chapter 1, we've got a young man named Daniel that had that disposition. There in Babylon, we learn there in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he may not defile himself.
Daniel, what? He purposed in his heart. Isn't that what Barnabas said? Have purpose of heart. A resolute heart, that we make up our minds that we serve the Lord.
Listen to Joshua and what he had to say. Back in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, in verses 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord, Joshua tells the Israelites, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
What do we see in that? I tell you what I see, is I see people, I see a man that has purpose of mind, a resolution of mind. I see somebody that's made up their mind. They're going to serve God. Far too many is what we've got, what's described in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. When Elijah calls upon the people, how long halt you? How long waver ye between two opinions? If Baal be God, serve him. If Jehovah be God, serve him. But quit wavering between the two.
And that was the problem that Elijah called upon the people. Is quit vacillating back and forth. The word halt in the King James, halt ye, that is to hop or to skip over.
I can't even make out a mind. Over here? Over there? No, well, I'm going to be over there. No, I'm going to be over there. Just hopping back and forth. Can't make up your mind which side I want to be on. straddling the fence, hopping over here, and then hopping over there, hopping over here, and Elijah says, make up your mind. Serve the true and living God. And quit straddling the fence. Quit having a divided heart and wavering this way and that way and skipping here to and yonder. No, make up your mind and just serve God. With purpose of heart, determination of heart, serve the Lord.
A divided heart only brings torment to an individual. And then let's notice our text one more time. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. This word cleave, Mr. Strong says, to glue to. That is figuratively to adhere.
He says you be glued to the Lord. You adhere to the Lord. Be stuck to the Lord is what he exhorts them.
And also exhorts us. It is the same word that's used in Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 5. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife.
Just as a man and a woman are to be glued together, as they are yoked together, as they stay together in their journey in life. Even so, that is the language that is being used here of what Barnabas was encouraging the brethren at Antioch and encouraging us today. That with determination of heart that we be glued to the Lord.
That we be committed to the Lord. And not just skipping around and get one foot in the church and one foot in the world, and we've got a divided heart. We can't make up our mind whether we want to serve God or whether we want to be in the world. We want to be a Christian, but we don't really want to be a Christian.
No, what God says, make up your mind, purpose and heart, and just stay with the Lord.
That's the only way to be happy. That's the only way to find peace of heart. Is get in the Lord. And stay with the Lord. And just follow the Lord and Savior. And just go for it 100%.
And none of this so-so, half-hearted, straddling the fence, and one foot in, one foot out. No, just get both feet in and cleave and be glued to the Lord. It's the only way to be happy. And it's the only way that we can really, really please the Lord and grow and be what we ought to be.
Through thick and thin. Through the ups and downs. Through the mountains and valleys.
Through the good times and bad times, what we do is that we cleave to the Lord.
We may not understand. We may not know. But we just trust in the Lord.
Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Just trust in God. Just put confidence in him and be cleaving and glowing and hearing, sticking to the Lord.
That we stay with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, Jesus teaches some things that seems a little difficult for the people there. They said it was a hard saying in verse 66. Verse 60. This is a hard saying. Who can hear? In verse 66 it says, from that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. And so you can see, here's throngs of people and then a bunch of them just start walking away. And they're just leaving. One by one. Bunches of them. Groups of them just taking off. And Jesus turned into the 12. Will you also go away? And listen to what Simon Peter says. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. If we turn from you, who is there to turn to?
What is there to turn to? Will we turn to money? Money is only temporary. It's only good for here and now. Shall we turn to Buddha? Shall we turn to Zeus or Jupiter? Some false gods? Shall we turn to some dumb idol? To whom shall we turn to? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. That commitment, staying with the Lord, whether I can understand or whether I can explain, I don't know. But I know one thing, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
And He has the words of eternal life. And I cannot turn from Him. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, and verse 9. In Romans 12, and verse 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good.
If we stay with God, we stay with the Lord, we're going to stay with good, because everything that He is and that He wants is good and right. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that's what Barnabas was trying to encourage the brethren there at Antioch. And that's what He's trying to encourage us, that with purpose of heart, that determination of mind, that I'm going to stick with the Lord and just put Him first. And just keep serving Him. And trusting in Him. And following Him. And exalting Him as Lord. And letting Him mold me and shape me. And let Him just keep teaching me and instructing me. And whether I understand it all or not, I'll just keep working at it. And by and by, I'll grow. And the Lord will ultimately, He'll reveal it and He'll make it known as I study and grow in His Word. And if I don't get it here, well, I'll get it in eternity. But I know the Lord is right. And that He always knows what's best. And that's why I should impeccably, totally, completely trust in Him, no matter whether I can see it or understand it or not. It really makes no difference. I trust in God. Because He always knows what's best.
Oh yes. Barnabas exhorted them. And He exhorts us to do the same. Maybe there's one here that's never obeyed God's plan of salvation.
Never even turned to the Lord to begin with. You can turn to the Lord even tonight. By stepping out on the promise of God. In the hearing of the good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Acts 2 and verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. The death, burial, and resurrection was proclaimed. We must believe in Jesus Christ. Romans 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We must repent and turn to God. Luke 13 and verse 3, I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We've got to make that turnaround. And then we're to confess Jesus before men. As Matthew 10 and verse 32 tells us, if we'll confess Him before men, He'll confess us before the Father. And if we deny Him, He'll deny us. And then we're to be baptized into Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And if we will step out in obedience and turn to the Lord, we can become a Christian and the angels of heaven will rejoice even tonight. We come up out of that watery grave and just grow and be faithful and just be determined. I'm going to stay with the Lord. I'm going to stick to the Lord. I'm going to stick to Him like white on rice. I'm going to stay with God no matter what comes. And if we err, if we fall down, we need to get back up through repentance and prayer and ask God for forgiveness, making things and confessing those sins unto Him, and He will be faithful and just to forgive us of all transgressions. If you're here and you never obeyed the gospel, or you're bad and you need to get right with God, we exhort you. We admonish you. We call you near. Turn to the Lord and Savior and flee to Him for mercy and grace. It is available. And if we can help to that end, help you to obey the gospel, come and let us know why together as we stand and as we sing.